And I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden, God just came. Like, and at first I thought, is there something wrong with me? Have I eaten something? Have I, you know, I've had it on my hands, I've had it on my face before, but this was intense. I mean, it was just incredible. And the fire just started to burn down my back, on my head, down my back, right down to my legs, then came on the front, went down to my toes. And it was like, oh, and then it came on my knees and then came back up again. And I'm saying, Lord, this is incredible. Ah, wow. So we want to press in. He says he's going to baptize us with water unto repentance, and then he's going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. And then I believe that there is a third baptism of fire. And I think that he is getting us ready. So I encourage all of you. I have a whole message on that. But he wants us absolutely, radically, in love, passionately, on fire. Wow. With him and for him. He is coming soon. I tell you, there's just signs of the times. We just got back. Can I share just a little bit, Patricia? I just got back from a month-long trip, and we went to England, and then we went over to Turkey, and we had two schools. Is it easy to turn the internet off? Yeah? Wave at me when you turn the internet off. Is it off? Okay. We had a Turkish school in Turkey, and we also brought Iranian pastors in from Iran. And I'm telling you, there is something so incredibly precious about the persecuted church. Oh, my gosh, I left my heart with them. They were just so precious. And a lot of them had just gotten out of prison. There's a husband and wife had been in prison for 8 months, and they just got out. And every single night before the man went to bed, they said to him, "We are going, tell us who your contacts are, and tell us you have to renounce Jesus. Or if you don't do that, tomorrow morning, we're going to rape your wife with you watching until she's dead." Every single day. Every single day. He had that kind of torture, that mental torture. And then there was this beautiful young lady. I think she looked maybe about 30. Gorgeous young lady. She had just gotten out about 4 months ago. She had a slash down the side of her face here. I saw on her arms there were slashes all here, slashes all over her back. And she didn't denounce Christ. I can tell you there's something about the persecuted church that is different, people. And we need to begin to pray. We need to begin to say, God, stir a fire in us. Change our hearts. Put us in that place of passion. Put us in that place of God putting you first and the world third or fourth or fifth, but you, Lord, first. He's looking for a bride that is passionate. I'm telling you, it was just amazing. And then we went on to Dubai. I went to Dubai myself. Can you imagine? Anyway, that's a whole nother story. God was so good, and I'm so thankful. I had my worship buzzer because, you know, they couldn't find my plane ticket. I was all alone, and it just went on and on and on, a whole scenario of things. But you know what? Every time I'd start to get negative, my buzzer would go off, and I would say, Jesus, I'm going to pass this test. Lord, I am going to worship you. And so I spoke on the Friday, which is their Sunday, and I have not seen the Holy Spirit fall like that in a long time. with 400 people in this church in a Muslim country. And I'm telling you, God just radically came in and just wasted everybody. I mean, there were businessmen in expensive suits. There was this one lady, gorgeous white outfit on, white linen outfit on. She's rolling on the floor. I mean, it was unbelievable. God just came and totally undid them. John and the team came then from Kuwait on the Saturday, and it was just phenomenal healings. I think we had the hottest fire tunnel I think we've ever had for a long time. So God is on the move in these Muslim nations. So keep them in your prayers. Sovereign things are happening. He's giving them dreams and visions. John right now is in India. He'll be back tomorrow. He said that he spoke at a Christian university. And he spoke on the importance of forgiveness. The whole university came up, and teachers and everybody in repentance. And he's just blown away. And then they're doing a school for 800 pastors in Delhi. And God is just phenomenally moving. We have Faustin and Lillian Brown and Ramesh and... can't think who else is with them, but they are just having a marvelous time. They had to go and buy pieces of carpet to put them out in the overflow in the basketball field so they could pray for them for the impartation. I said, boy, you have to get really radical. But again, the stories of the persecution that they've gone through. Their houses have been burned. They're living in the forest, some of them. One girl is going through for, John thinks she's about 20, 21 now. She was given to the Maharaja's, I think it was cousin, some relative to the Maharaja, when she was 3 as his bride. And he divorced her when she was 12. And in India, they are the lowest caste ever. Widows and they're just low caste. They're the worst of the worst of the worst. And God has transformed her. She's going through for a pastorate. She's just about to graduate. She came up, and when John did the importance of forgiveness again, she's on her knees weeping and forgiving, and it was just marvelous. So thank you all so much for praying. It's just, we can feel your prayers. God goes before us. And like I said, this timer this time has just been an absolute wonderful way to stay and walk totally in his presence and not get negative, not get, by the circumstances that happen. It just has kept me incredibly in him. So I encourage you, get a buzzer, get on fire, say, God, I have got to have more. Change my heart. Look at the deep things in my heart. If there's things that you aren't pleased with, God, deal with them, because he is coming soon, and we really want to be ready. So sorry, Patricia, I didn't want to take your time, but I felt they needed to hear that.
Amen. I love you. I
love you too.
Woo! Hey! More fire, moto. Oh, Lord, we worship you. We set our gaze on you. Lord, we want to listen from heaven, Lord, what you're saying, what you're doing. You're compelling us into more. So, Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Come and have your way this morning. We pray for the word of the Lord to run swiftly. Pray for a clarity of your word. Oh, God, we ask for your anointing to increase in this house, Lord. Everyone from the young to the old, every one of us to be somehow changed, coming closer in your presence, closer into your glory realm. Lord, we say yes, yes to more, yes to more. Oh. Lord, we set our gaze on you, we set our gaze on you. We set our gaze on you, Lord. We say, come, Holy Spirit. You're the leader, and we follow your lead. We follow your lead. Help. I felt there's somebody here who is dealing with some sort of issue that's in courts or something in governmental or court system. You need favor and you need God to come and break in. I'm not sure. It may be just something simple or larger, but where are you? I just feel like God was saying that we're going to pray for you for breakthrough. Something going on in the court system. You need breakthrough. Yeah. Okay. Can you come run up here for a second? And I'd like maybe some of the ministry team just to gather around her. I felt like God's saying that she's going to... I just saw this anvil coming down in your favor. And so could some of you... Father, we just bless this situation in the name of Jesus. Yeah, you can turn the internet back on if you haven't already. We just bless right now favor, favor. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the great judge. You are the judge of all judges. In the name of Jesus, we pray, God, that you would come and you would show yourself strong in this situation. Even now, you're turning hearts, you're arranging things. I thank you, God, for sending out angelic hosts. In the name of Jesus, favor, we learn the lessons we need to learn, but God, favor on this amazing woman. Lord, just lift off worry and concern in the name of Jesus. How? In Jesus' name, there's a couple here that you really want to have a baby, and it's been a while. Like you're just not sure if something's not going right, or well, it's dangerous to have me pray for you. As you know, I have 6 children. However, where are you? I believe that there's somebody that you just need a breakthrough in this area. Come on forward if you're married. But I just see the Lord coming into a womb and straightening. Who's really desiring a baby right now? And you're married, you're desiring a baby, but it hasn't really quite been happening. I know there's some here, because I just felt that so clearly. She's pushing people forward. Oh, only if you desire that. Yes? Father, I ask that you'd pour out your Spirit. God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your glory. We've heard so many amazing stories of God just coming supernaturally into wombs. And Father, we just praise you for that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Is there an Edward here? Edward? I know that's the full name, Edward. Is he Edward? Edward, can you stand up for a second? I just want to bless. What I saw is this change. Like, somebody gave me a word about changing the garments, but during worship, I just heard Edward and changing of the seasons, changing of the garments, that God is saying that there's been things that you've been desiring and praying for, and there's a changing of the seasons. How? Coming for you. And I just bless you as you take that step and you risk and you step out, because there's... great things awaiting you, but it's like, do I, don't I, you know, this, you know, yes, no, and what's the Lord saying? And I just felt like him saying that there's a yes there, and I think you know what that means. And so I just want to bless the changing of this season for you, the changing of the garments, and that to trust your Father, that he really knows what he's doing. And I bless you to enter into abundance. There's areas of abundance that are about to come upon you that are quite extraordinary. So Father, we just thank you for that. We bless them. Lord, yes. Lord, more. Ha. Huh. Yay, Jesus. You know, I believe that he's calling us to walk in new levels of faith, in new levels of believing. And that's really what I want to share on this morning, is faith, is believing, is coming higher. Just all of us. I believe that all of us can come higher in what we expect from God. It's Mark 9:23 that says, if you believe, all things are possible. Ha ha. Say all. All. Okay, that means all. All things are possible to him who believes. Woo. All things are possible. Wikipedia defines believe as a psychological state in which an individual holds a premise to be true. Faith, similarly, is defined as confidence or trust in a person, and in Christianity, obviously, in the Supreme, in Jesus, in the Father himself. It also says this in Wikipedia. It says, generally speaking, it's offered as a means by which the truth of the proposition, things will turn out well in the end, can be enjoyed in the present and secured in the future. So living in a state of believing and living in a state of faith is living in a very positive state to say things are going to turn out well in the end. Yay! Things are going to turn out well in the end. I love, you know, being reminded Jesus is coming soon. Yay, Jesus is coming soon. Things are going to turn out really, really well for us. Oh, should you go to him ahead of time or should he come for us? Things are going to turn out really well. But to live in a state of believing, you know, to live in this positive state of expectation. Expectation. I believe God wants to raise our expectations. Hebrews 11:1, as we know, it talks a lot about faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen, this invisible God. But, you know, the world says, well, I'll believe it when I see it. That's what the world says. Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Show me facts. Show me proof. And actually, it's the opposite in our walk with God. It's like, I'll believe it, and then I'll see it. First I believe it, then I see it. It's the opposite. And the interesting thing is this, you know, so-called invisible God, he becomes more real than our circumstances, becomes more real than the things that we see with our natural eyes as we believe in him, as we walk with him. So real. He's so real. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. I love to tell people that. You know, Jesus is alive. His is the only tomb that's empty. Muhammad's tomb is full. Buddha's tomb, it's still there. Jesus' tomb is the only one that's empty. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He is alive. He's real. He's alive. I believe it. Stake my life on this. The evidence of things not seen, belief, living in a state of believing, engaging in belief before evidence is realized. For we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. You know, as we know, salvation is accessed through faith. I was 12 years old when I had a teacher who really explained about being born again. And that month when I was 12, it was October, I'll never forget, because I realized that this thing about born again, I was raised in church-going family, but I didn't know what it meant to be born again. So I remember crying out to the Lord, actually over a course of the whole month. I was like, you know, cried myself to sleep at night. I would just repent of sins, and I want to know you. I just want to know you, and you're real. I really want to know you. But at the end of that time, by the way, it doesn't have to take a month to get saved, but for me it did. And at the end of that time, I was like, I just knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that I was changed, I was born again, that I had a relationship, a living relationship with this God. And that began a journey. That was an access point of a journey of faith. Now, I'm believing for other things. I'm believing for, you know, more and more. But that was an access point into this journey of faith that I'm so, so, so glad. Obviously changed my life. Even when I was 12, I remember one of the first things that changed was my grades for some reason. I became a much better student. I became like this straight A student. It was almost like I could understand. It was like I had greater understanding. It's like the Lord came and illuminated my senses, my mind, my thinking. I just felt alive. Felt alive in a whole other way. Because guess what? This is really living. This is living, is to live in a state of faith, in a state of believing, in a state of expectation of more, of all that he has for us, this journey of faith. Well, many of you know that I was just in Mozambique. I just got back from South Africa and Mozambique, and I was challenged. I just want to say that I was really super challenged because I was on outreach in the bush with Heidi Baker and Pastor Sapreza. If you've heard of Pastor Sapreza, who's, you know, been used of God to raise many from the dead. And I was so challenged because there was a whole new level of faith and expectation that I saw. There is about 1,200 village people, you know, no electricity, no running water. They come out to watch the Jesus film, which is on a screen with generators playing. And then at the end of the Jesus film, Heidi gets out there and she calls for the deaf. Where's the deaf? Bring out the deaf. 1,200 people or more, and they push forward this woman. And I thought, I was looking at Heidi, I thought, man, she's got guts. She's got guts. God, I want more guts. I just want more faith. Honestly, it just felt like, I need to get born again, again. I need to get born again, again. How many of you felt that? You just need to get born again, again. You know, it was like, challenge, go higher. And I was challenged. So here she sticks her fingers in this woman's ears, and you know, in Makua, and with translation into, or Portuguese and translation to Makua, she's, be healed in Jesus' name. And sure enough, this woman's ears open. Minutes, like literally 3 minutes, 4 minutes. And so then she begins to speak these words, and all the people, they know this woman. So then all, you know, they start to push forward more. Deaf people and a blind man. And Pastor Sapreza prays for the blind man, and his eyes open. He can see. Woo! Come on. So I thought, you know, I'm challenged. So I'm sticking my fingers in this woman's ear who's born deaf and born mute, saying, God, I believe, I believe. And sure enough, she could hear and she could speak. And I'm like, God, I don't want this just in Africa. Okay, I want my level of faith, my level of expectation to rise to what this book says. Not my experience back in Canada. I want it to rise to, this is my standard. This is our standard. Greater works than these. You will do greater works to him who believes. Wow, there's such a connection. There's such a connection. Well, you know, I believe that faith is contagious. And there's a sense of when we hang around with people of faith, and that it causes our expectation to arise. And I pray this morning, even in coming into church, coming into where we gather together corporately, that for every one of us, it's like our faith arises, our joy arises, our expectation, our experience of God's presence arises. So much value in gathering as family together. Well, you know, I have a special needs daughter. And she's 13, and we've prayed, and yet I want to say this, that this is true, that John and I live in a state of expectation for her healing. We live in a state of faith that someday she's going to preach from the stages of the world and tell the story of how God healed her of a developmental delay and an inability to speak. I would much rather live in that state than live in a state of a lack of faith. Because you know what? I want to believe for extraordinary things. And even if I get half of it, it's a whole lot better than believing for nothing and getting all of it. And I just feel like God is calling us. Where's your faith at this morning? Where's my faith at? Where's our level of believing? Believing in this God of the impossible. In him, all things are possible. All things are possible. It's a much more positive way to live. It's a much more incredibly enjoyable way to live. Do you know, I heard Mike Bickle recently talk about how many Christians, you know, when a cold starts to come on, or the flu, and just like, oh, no, I got a cold again. And then just think, well, it'll run its course, and, you know, I'll be better in a week or 2 weeks. No, how about we start resisting? How about we start just really stepping up? You know, our own faith for believing for miracles in our homes and in our families, because that's where it begins. You know, killing the lion and the bear before we kill Goliath. It's the little things. It's the little foxes. You know, I came home and I got like eaten alive this time by mosquitoes. It's like, oh, they like me. I don't like them, but they liked me. And I'm like, I'm feeling hot one night, and I had a bit of diarrhea, and I'm like, oh no, I hope I don't have malaria. It's like, wait a second here. Pastors prayed for me, and it's just like, no, I shake that off. And you know, I'm feeling great, by the way. But I felt that I had to actually resist, of course. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And so I just want to encourage us that we don't just expect, oh, flu season. Oh, no. Forget flu season. There's no flus in heaven. There's no colds in heaven. There's no fatigue. There's no cold sores. And I want to reach, I pray that we can all reach higher. reach for this wave of glory that God wants to pour out upon us. I know from my nursing days as a registered nurse, I know clearly that the patients who had a positive attitude, they had an expectation of getting better, and especially the ones who prayed, they definitely got better quicker. And it was the ones who had a real negative outlook, like this is wrong and that's wrong and everything's wrong, and even for some, given up the will to live. I saw it again and again and again. They either didn't get well or they literally died. And I just read a book. I finished reading the classic book called The Power of Positive Thinking by Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. Classic book, like, you know, written in the 50s. But it's an incredible book about the power of our mind and the experience. As he thinketh, so is he. That's connected with our faith, with believing. It tells a story of one man who just had failure after failure, business failure after business failure. And then all of a sudden, he hit this jackpot of success. And people said, what was the turnaround? Like, you just always had failure. He said, because in my mind, I expected failure. I expected defeat. And he said, when that became revealed to me, I began to change my thinking and began to even say, I walk in success. You know, this is, as we know, with the teaching of ungodly beliefs to godly beliefs. It's powerful. Our mind, our thinking, the power of our mind, and all that God wants to revolutionize. Randy Clark is the man who helped to be the catalyst for this revival. He's an interesting guy, very humble, and I read a couple of his books. And do you know that he had a lot of defeat in his life? He divorced and thought that he was disqualified for ministry, and yet, you know, got back up again. He's really in the natural, not a charismatic type guy, not necessarily in the natural, a great speaker. But God has used him over the world, multitudes, been touched, been healed, been delivered. But, you know, he talks about the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. You guys remember that show? I even remember that as a kid. That was Wide World of Sports. Not that I was a big sports person. The Worldwide World of Sports. And they would open their show with this saying, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. But the thing is that if defeat keeps us down, that's the problem. Because in the healing ministry or in this walk of faith, sometimes you come across defeat. Like when he talked about praying for the 12-year-old blind girl, oh, he wanted her to be healed. Oh, God, he just so desperately wanted to see this beautiful 12-year-old girl that had been blind by some disease when she was six. And he just wanted her to be able to see how beautiful she was. And he prayed for her and prayed for her and prayed for her, but she didn't get healed. But then he prayed for the lady with Parkinson's, who was told that out of, I think, normally 80 billion brain cells, hers had deteriorated to 50,000. And she came for prayer, and he actually put her off at first, said, oh, you know, you're supposed to be up there receiving prayer. She said, no, you're supposed to pray for me. And as he prayed for her, something began to happen. And then he actually began to pray, God, give her brain cells. And she said, stop, because it's hurting. And he said, no, Lord, don't listen to her prayer. Listen to mine. Give her 80 billion brain cells. This woman got up completely healed after years and years of Parkinson's and shaking and forgetting. And the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, the thing is it going to keep you down? Is it going to keep you down? Because believe me, the enemy wants to keep you down. Get back up again. Get back up again. Even in, you know, praying for people for healing, it was John Wimber years ago. I think he said, pray for 1,000 people. Randy says, pray for at least 400 people. I think it's a good idea. Because believe me, after you pray for them and pray for them and pray for them, something's going to shift. Something starts to happen. But if you stop at the one or two who didn't get healed, then you never see the thrill of victory. The thrill of victory of the many who do. He's calling us to a higher level of faith, a higher level of expectation. Matthew 17:20, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Randy actually has a mustard seed taped to his Bible. Just knowing that little bit of faith, that little bit,
If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you know what? Risk is a big thing. What is faith spelt? Sometimes we've heard this said, R-I-S-K. James 2:22, speaking of Abraham, says, do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect or complete. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. He was called the friend of God. I want to be a friend of God. I want to be righteous. There's something here about when we take risks, God is pleased. As a matter of fact, what else does Hebrews 11 say but the fact that without faith it's impossible to please him? For he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This invisible God, the extraordinary, the supernatural, risk-taking. I know Bethel in Reading, they really reward their youth and young people for taking risks. Get out in the streets, you know, go and pray for that person and risk. Take the risks that God's called you to take. I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm not talking about, you know, presumption, but there's nudges of the Holy Spirit. And we can, like the buzzer, we can ignore them and they become duller and duller to hear them, or we can ask for them to return. The nudges of the Spirit, the nudges as he calling us to step out to risk. What have you got to lose? What have I got to lose? You know what? The fear of man has really got to go in our lives. I was sitting on the airplane and next to this guy, and he was just really super sweet, and I just felt like God said, just tell him about me. Here I'd seen all these miracles in Africa. Yeah, God, I need to tell him about you. So I did begin to tell him about the Lord, and you could just see him so hungry and drinking and was raised Hindu. And what does it take for us to step out to risk? It's a thing that in Matthew 25, the parable of talents, the pleasure of God when they use the talents, the ones that multiplied and doubled them. How many know that Peter was the only one who walked in the water? He was the only one who got out of the boat. He was the only one who got out of the boat. Risks. Taking risks. Hebrews 12:1. It's this right after this hall of faith, all the biblical forefathers in the hall of faith says this. Therefore, we also have been surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father. Let us lay aside. You know, somebody gave me this word. It was in this church, and I stuck it in my purse, and I didn't take that purse with me. And it's interesting. I was just in the bathroom over there, and I somehow this fell out of my purse, and I thought, I haven't even read that. And it was like weeks ago. Guess what it's about? It's about the supernatural. It's about where this person saw a portal of heaven open, and where these chariots of fire came out, and where these chariots of fire affected all of us here. And it says, and I heard with supernatural unity and carriers of my fire. Carriers of my fire. I also saw the fire of God looking like a fist, and there was a dragon blowing fire towards the fire of God. But the fire of God broke through the breath of the dragon, and the fire of God knocked the dragon down, and the supernatural was normal. Come on. Somebody say hallelujah. I got that weeks ago, just read it today. The supernatural was normal. And I would say that for somebody like Heidi Baker, that is her experience. The supernatural is normal. So it's not a big deal to stick your fingers in a deaf person and know that they'll get healed in front of 1,200 people. And all the village came to Jesus, by the way. Hallelujah. The supernatural being normal. Our faith level arising, the expectation of God on us. Steps to walking in greater faith. Number one, hear what God says. Because Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by and hearing the word of God. That word means actually rhema in the Greek, the now, the spoken, the uttered word of God. But I would say this, that faith comes by either way, hearing this word or hearing the rhema word, but our faith arises when we hear God's words. I remember being this little kid milking cows growing up in no man's land in the farm, and the Lord would come and speak to me and say, I'm going to send you to the nations. You're going to see many people come to me. I'm like, what? Who? Me? I milk cows growing up. That's what I do. And I'm pretty messed up too, God. And I looked around. I never saw any women in ministry when I was a kid. And I thought, I must be hallucinating. And I remember when he sent these people, which I think they were angels, can't prove it, but and they spoke the same thing, and I'm like, oh man, this is like a repetition of what God's saying. And every time I would position myself to hear him speak, he'd say, I love you. And by the way, I'm sending it to the nations. By the way, you're gonna see many people come to me. And I'm like, you know what? I remember there was a click one day when I just thought this. I thought, I'm just going to believe it. That was novel. I'm just going to believe. I'm going to believe God is true. I'm going to believe that this is God. I'm going to believe that he actually has a calling on my life. He hasn't forgotten me. I am a woman, but he can use me. And I'm just going to believe. Guess what? That's my experience. And I believe that God is calling us to believe the things that he's saying and the things that he spoke. Even when you were a child, or some of the dreams, the dreams inside of us that seem crazy. And it's like, yet he's the God of all impossible. Him, in him, nothing is impossible. So as we hear, as we listen, his words and, what he's saying to us, faith arises. Remember when I just two Fridays ago, not this Friday, the Friday before, I got up to speak before 1,000 youth in Maputo. And I'm thinking, me as a white woman from Canada, I don't have a whole lot in common, with these youth. However, God, I will get up there and I will open my mouth and I am really trusting that you're going to put something in it. And he did. And many, many, many came to Jesus. And you know what? There are times where I have to push aside that voice, that says, you don't have what it takes. You're going to really fall tonight. It's like, I don't know. I just feel it sometimes. I have to push it aside and say, no, I'm going to believe. I'm going to open my mouth. I'm going to get up there. I'm going to speak. And I'm going to say, come, Holy Spirit. And he comes again and again. What a faithful Father we have. He comes. He comes through. Faith is a mustard seed. I don't know that we all get to giant levels of, John Hyde was a missionary to India. He prayed for a soul a day in India in the early 1900s. They laughed at him. Fellow missionaries said, that's crazy. We haven't seen a soul in 3 years of ministry. And he decided he was going to pray for a soul a day. Guess what he got that year? 365 souls. Come on. And then he decided to double it the next year to two a day. And he saw 800. He went to four a day and he started seeing four a day. They called him Praying Hyde, the Praying Hyde. I want to share this story. Some of you have heard this. I love this about the Hebrides revival. Because the next step to really walking in faith is prayer. It's persistence of prayer. A persistence is in Luke 18, the story of that persistent widow. The Lord equates it with faith when he says, he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. In verse 7, he says, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out night and day to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Well, when he comes, will he really find faith on the earth? He's equating faith with prayer, with a persistence in prayer. With a not give up attitude. Listen to I love these sisters. Off the Hebrides of the coast of Scotland, not a single young person attended Sunday services. The islands, which had seen many revivals in the past, were becoming a spiritual wasteland. Peggy Smith was blind, 84 years old, and her sister, Christine, suffered from arthritis. But they prayed. And they prayed. They prayed for a visitation of God. They heard in a vision, they saw in a vision, Duncan Campbell, a famed Scottish evangelist, preaching on their island and the church is filling with young people. They told their pastor and he said, wow, my wife had the same word. So they invited Duncan Campbell. Guess what Duncan Campbell said? No, he was too busy. He was preaching in other places in the UK. They weren't swayed, Peggy and Christine. Blind and arthritic, they prayed again for revival. They prayed that Duncan Campbell would come. Do you know what they did? They, along with the pastor, they started printing invitations to Duncan Campbell's meetings, even though he said he wasn't coming. Campbell was sitting in the front row at a Keswick convention in England, prepared to be the next speaker, when the Spirit of God came upon him with conviction. Campbell turned to the moderator and said, "You'll have to excuse me, but God has another appointment for me." Then he got up and walked away. Obeying God's call, Duncan Campbell boarded a boat, made the journey to the Hebrides. He got off the boat at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and found a postman waiting for him, saying, "We knew you would come. You have just enough time to have high tea before the meeting." And he said, "What meeting?" He said he didn't know of a meeting. And the postman explained that notices were posted everywhere advertising him at the meeting that night. Campbell went to high tea, and then he preached in that little church, and the rest is history. The faith of two elderly prayer warriors. What was the ongoing fruit of that revival? Most of the bars had to close down permanently for lack of business. The churches were filled with young people, just as in Peggy Smith's vision. Church enrollment exploded as people returned to God. There was a tremendous healing of the land as people repented and came to Jesus. That revival continued for 30 years. God heard the fervent prayers of two housebound believers. Come on. Come on. Oh. A persistence, a determination. Therefore, Hebrews 10, "Do not cast away your confidence, which is great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise that just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Oh, God, help us not to draw back. It's tempting at times. I know it. We all hear the whisper. Can't. Don't. Stay where it's safe. Come on. Joyce Meyer asked by a panel of pastors one time, "What's the one thing besides God himself who you attributed this ministry to?" And she said, without flinching, "Determination." She said, "Because the temptation to quit has been there hundreds of times, but I get back up again, determined to obey the call of God." Persistence, determination, prayer. Point three, steps to walking in greater faith, take action. Risk, take action. How will we really know unless we get out of that comfort zone? Do you know in Mark 5, do you remember the woman who with the flow of blood? Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house to lay hands on his daughter. What happened? The woman took some action. She broke through the crowds. She just touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. She took action. Faith without works is dead. I remember Tim, who was a former intern of ours in Stratford. He was from Scotland. He had a prophetic word about going to Germany. He didn't know anybody in Germany. He had no open doors in Germany. But he believed the word. And you know what he did in Stratford? He began to take German-speaking language courses. And I thought, wow, I like that. Because he's taking some action for this word that he's got no open doors for. And then we remembered, hey, we know a pastor in Germany. It's Reinhardt. And we contacted him. And do you know that he put Tim in touch with a church plant? And we actually knew them too. He helped plant this church. He's in Germany. Guess what? He married a German girl. And he's still there. He took some action when he started learning the German language. What's God called you to do? Wait, I'm waiting on God. I'm going to go with the nations. Well, how about helping a follower's mission, or how about leading that cell group, or how about, you know, taking those steps now, right here, right now. Faith, incremental faith. Heidi's got, like, she's one of the craziest people I know, really, you know. By the way, I just want to tell you a true story. You know, we're in our tents. Can you believe I went tenting? I'm like more, call myself Miss 4 and 5 star hotel, that is. And I'm in a tent in the back bush, in these, you know what? I just want to say it is much easier for men in the bush than women, okay? Those latrines, you know, I'm trying to aim right, you know. Anyways, don't go there. But I'm looking up, and I have never in my life seen so many stars because there's no lights to interrupt the stars because there's no electricity. And Heidi said, "This is our billion star hotel." I'm like, that's a good perspective. Well, guess what? The next morning, I had some washed. I didn't take makeup. If you take it in, like, you know, with the Humidex, it's like 46 degrees, and I think it's going to melt anyways. There comes Heidi the next morning out of her tent, hair perfect, makeup on, Capilani, smooth, matching, and with Starbucks in her hand. And she's got Starbucks coffee grounds. She said, oh, I'm going to make Starbucks for everybody. I'm like, I can't believe what I'm just seeing right now. She got out, you know, this big cauldron over the fire and made Starbucks for everybody in the back bush of Mozambique. They don't even sell Starbucks in Mozambique, by the way. But the risk factor, you know, get in that bumpy ride and over the terrain and go to an unreached people group. And, oh, I'm challenged. God, challenge us today. Step out risks. Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? In believing. Joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace are connected with believing. Believe. I want to live a life of faith. I may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Let's all stand up together and I just want to pray. Let's close our eyes. Let's focus on the Lord. I know we got lunch coming. I haven't forgotten. I just want to put a call out today. Two groups, really. I believe there are people here today. Maybe you came with family. Maybe you came because you're invited. You know there's a dinner that you need to say yes to the knock on the door of your heart to Jesus saying, I want in. I want to know you. Salvation. The wages of sin is death. The price of our sin is death. What does that mean? Somebody had to pay it. Because otherwise we're eternally separated from a holy and a perfect God because we're in sin. We all have failed. We all have fallen short. Jesus steps out of heaven and says, I'll pay the price. I'll pay the price. Perfect, whole, holy Lamb of God dies a cruel death on a cruel cross because he said, I'll pay the price. So all we do is believe that he's real. Believe that he died for us and he rose again. Say, I come to you today, Jesus, to say, I give you of my heart. I give you of my life. I want to go on this journey of faith with you. I want to hold your hand and walk this journey of faith. It is the most exciting journey ever. It is so worth it all. I just with eyes closed, I just want you to come up here. Just raise your hand and then come up here. If you know you need to say yes to Jesus today, maybe somebody, you brought somebody here. Just come with them. Ask them if they'd like to come forward. We're going to pray with you. We're going to take this time to enter into the best deal on the planet, okay, which is salvation, walking through the door through faith of knowing him and saying yes to him. So come. We're going to wait now. Come. Come because he's so worthy, so worthy, so worthy, so worthy. Bless you, sister. Thank you, Jesus. Can we have some of the team come? I'm just going to wait a few more minutes because I know that God is knocking on the door of hearts. Do you know sometimes this Christmas season can actually be a very lonely season for some? A time of where there's been loss or there's been separation from loved ones, and God wants to come and fill the place in our hearts. Fill that place. Oh! Fill that place of loneliness and lack. If you know that you need to be down here, you feel God's calling you, tugging at the heart strings, your heart strings, come. Say yes to him. He's so worth it all. Bless you, sister. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know there's one more. We're going to wait. There's one more. You need to come. Say yes. Yes to him. Again, turn to the person on your right. Turn to the person on the left. Should you be there? Do you want me to go with you? Is God knocking on the door of your heart? Oh, he's so worth it all. He's so worthy, worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're so worthy. You're so worth it all. going to pray this with you, and just want to have everyone in this room, let's just pray it, because I honestly said this in Africa, I need to get born again. Let's all pray this together. Dear Jesus, say yes to you today. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of the things I have messed up on. I want to step into faith this morning. I want to step into you. Greater levels of knowing you. Oh, thank you for dying for me. I want to live for you.